All right. Now go ahead and open to 1 Samuel 15. As I always do, I try and pay close attention to what the mind of Christ is during the services today, especially when I'm not teaching myself. And this morning, Nathan was teaching about obedience. And we're going to look at one of the scriptures here that he used in that passage. I want to, because not everybody was here for Nathan's service, and I'll read a little bit more of it. But how many knows obedience is important? And then Alan comes along in his service, and he talks about a body. See? And I use the example for years. People are always trying to figure out formulas on giving. People want formulas for everything. I want 3 steps to healing. Just give me these formulas. I don't want to hear God. I don't want to obey God. Just give me 3 steps to healing. I want 3 steps to prosperity. 3 steps to the perfect marriage. I want these formulas. See? Well, aren't you glad your right hand isn't like that? Do you know your right hand is in perfect communion with your mind? And hopefully your left hand is too. I'm really glad my hand doesn't take it upon itself because of a 3-step formula that it heard. And it just reaches into my wallet. I'm going, what in the world? All of a sudden my hand gets my wallet out. And it didn't get any instruction from me. And we start walking over to Kevin. You know, and it just starts emptying. And now Kevin thinks this is God, but it starts emptying out all the money and giving it to Kevin. You know, see, Angie's over here. Yeah, that's the Lord, you know. But what would you think? What would your mind would go, what is wrong with you? No, I went to seminar. There's a 3-step formula for prosperity. And I don't care what you say. I'm going to take it upon myself to do the 3 steps. You'd think your hand has gone absolutely nuts. See, real obedience is we have a living relationship with the living Lord. Now, there are some things that are automatic. How many of you know you forgive? You don't need to hear from heaven to forgive. How many of you know if you see a brother, then there's not food in the house? You don't have to hear a word from heaven to bring food in the house. But there is all kinds of things that you have got to hear from heaven. And he is the head. We are the body, and we're not to take it upon ourselves on a lot of things to just begin acting because the hand thinks that's the right thing to do or because it's a formula. He never intended that. He gave us the Holy Spirit to bring us the present hour mind of Christ. Okay? So Alan in his teaching really was tailoring that first message about obedience. We're going to look at Samuel here in a minute. No, Saul, King Saul, in the book of Samuel. But because he got a present hour instruction. Now he had to get it through a prophet. In the Old Testament, they didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit like you have now. That the same Holy Spirit that brought that instruction to Saul by way of the prophet Samuel is the same Holy Spirit that lives in your belly. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit. Amen? All right. So you don't have to go to the prophet. You've got the Holy Ghost in you. And it's just like Pastor Dave has taught us over and over. It is just locating that place within you where he speaks. All right. So let's go to 1 Samuel. Okay. So Alan... 1 Samuel 15, go ahead and be turning there. So Alan, I love the way that the Holy Spirit brought that together. Because when you think of obedience, you can think of all kinds of things. Like there's a parent-child relationship. There is an employer-employee relationship. In church, there's a pastor and congregation relationship. But the one that really God is after is the mind and the body relationship. And then Alan is going, you know, this isn't just about you and your walk. You're part of a body. Didn't you love how he brought that out about the kidney? I'm really glad my kidney came with me today. I'm glad it's doing its job today. And my kidney, I may forget to give my kidney any glory. But boy, am I glad it's working. Amen? See? And everything that we do really interacts with the rest of the body. So anyway, you'll see some of these illustrations as we go along here. So I loved how God brought it through Alan that really the kind of obedience he's talking about is just like my hand See, right now, you see my hand doing all of this? Why? Why is it doing all of that? Is it doing that on its own? For benefit of those that can't see me, I'm just making my hand do all kinds of funny things here. We're, you know, fingers moving. Why? It's not making those decisions. My head is making those decisions. My hand is hearing from the head and doing what I tell it. That makes it a really good hand. Good hand. I want to be a good hand to the Lord. You want to be a good hand to the Lord. Or kidney or whatever. Whatever your part is. Amen. So let's start here with Samuel. Now, for time's sake, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to just give a synopsis. The prophet Samuel heard from the Lord for King Saul. Saul was supposed to go and destroy the Amalekites. And I mean, the instructions were very specific. He was supposed to go in there and kill the men, the women, the children, the goats. I didn't look that verse up, but I mean, everything. Everything that breathes, he was supposed to kill it. But he didn't. He listened to the people. And now they killed a lot of things. They killed all the warriors. They killed a lot of things. But the best of the sheep and the best of the oxen. And even the king himself. The king. Agag, is that his name? Agag of the Amalekites. There you go. That's they brought him back. Okay? That's not what the Lord said. So, this is not the first time that King Saul has disobeyed the direct voice of the Lord. I mean, a actual right now instruction. And you got to understand, here, let's just find it. This part is so important. Because, here it is. Verse 3. 1 Samuel 15:3. Now, this is the instruction. Now, go and smite Amalek. Utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. But slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and donkey, as Nathan said today. Now, is that plain enough? Is that enough information to act? Do you know to what degree you're supposed to do this? There's a sufficient information in that to accomplish the job, okay? But when he goes, they don't do that. And so let's pick it up here. Verse 18. So Samuel is putting Saul in remembrance of what the Lord told him to do. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites. Fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord? But didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. Now notice, Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. Well, he partially obeyed. He didn't fully obey, did he? He's arguing, well, I did it. I obeyed the Lord. No, he didn't. No, he didn't either. And I have gone the way which the Lord sent me and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek. Did the Lord say to do that? The Lord said, put him to death. And have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But now notice, this is what people often do. It's this woman you gave me. It's this person. It's them over there. He starts shifting the blame. But the people. Now he's king. He's supposed to have authority. But he says, oh, but the people took of the spoil. The sheep and the oxen. The chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed. But notice, they did it for a good reason. To sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And here is the famous verse. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice? Boy, if you underline, notice it says voice and not just word. This is a particular right now instruction. The voice. Hebrews, it says, today if you will hear his voice, not just the word, if you will hear his voice. He's talking about your instructions. He said, has the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, do you understand what Samuel is equating rebellion with disobedience. Even if it's disobedience based on a good idea that you have. Oh, we're not going to fully obey the Lord. We're going to keep the best sheep, the best oxen, and then we'll sacrifice them to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Is that what the Lord said? No. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And you can, you know, the rest of the story there. Now, we want to talk about obeying the voice of the Lord. I'm going to title tonight, Obeying Heavenly Instructions. I've been at this a while, okay? He's always kind of mean to me and nice to you. I'm going to give you some good examples of where I have obeyed and where I haven't obeyed, okay? But I have learned some things along this journey. Somebody even this morning asked me a question. Says, I think I'm hearing something from the Lord, but I'm not sure when to do it. I'm not sure how to do it, you know? And so let's talk about that. Anyone else ever had that where you had an inkling or, all right, let's talk about that. Now, I printed out this is one of the face-to-face documents. It's called Communion with the Holy Spirit. I know you've probably heard it, read it. It won't hurt you to read it again. Brush up on this. And he says, I have sent my Holy Spirit to be in the presence of man. Now, even Nathan and Alan both, I think, talked some today about getting in the presence of God through worship. And we all know what that means. But listen to this. He says, as my Son came down, so now has my Spirit come down to be among men. The difference is, he is not limited by geographical location. He is with me. No, excuse me. He is with every son, and he is with every daughter all of the time. I want your mind to be such that you understand you walk with him every day, just as if you had been walking every day with Jesus while he was physically on the earth. I have sent my Holy Spirit to be in the presence of man. He is available to you at all times. You are to turn to him with your questions, as if you were turning to Jesus, walking side by side with him in the flesh. My Holy Spirit is with you, says the Lord, and for this purpose he has been sent. Now get this part. It requires no great spiritual labor to enter into his presence, for I have sent him to be in your presence, says the Lord. Now I know there's times of worship. Don't you love it when the goosebumps come? Don't you love it when you can, you know? But he's with you whether you feel those things or not. And I've read this so many times I can almost quote it verbatim. But I myself sometimes I have turned to the, hello Holy Spirit, I'm supposed to talk to you. I have asked him questions, and to me, the silence was deafening. Am I the only person in the room? Okay, I'm not the only person. Okay, but what's amazing, with practice, it won't stay that way. And what's amazing, you'll find his response often comes when you least expect it. When you get your mind off of the problem and you're calm. For some reason with me, he likes the shower. And I'm going, you know I don't have anything to record with in here. I mean, now? Now? But I don't know if it's because I'm quiet or it's soothing. I don't know. That's not the only time, but I mean, that's so often. It's in the shower, you know. Or I'll just be driving along, and all of a sudden, I've learned to keep a recording device with me. Nowadays, with your phones, you can nearly always record it. I'm going to show you one here in a minute. But he is not kidding about this. And learning where he speaks within. I think, how did Dave say that? He says, lack of peace is the number one difficulty for hearing the Holy Spirit. Did y'all hear that? Lack of peace. That still, small voice is hard to hear when you're all in turmoil from worry or anger or fear or any of those things, with those kind of storms raging, it's hard to hear that still small voice. I think he even talks about that in this lesson. Now, one of the things he says in here, that I pulled this out, he says, men will, and women, people will find this hard to believe. Now, are you ready for this? You are. It is my purpose in sending the Holy Spirit that you receive instant answers for immediate problems. And it is my will that you receive answers ahead of time, before you even know of the problems that shall come. I can't deny that he said that. I will also tell you, I've had some difficulty walking in that. I've had problems where I wanted an instant answer, and I would ask, and to be honest with you, it seemed like silence. But how many knows he always comes through? He always comes through. I'm pretty sure the problem is not on his end. The problem is on me walking in enough peace and quietness to hear him. But he says plainly here, it is my will that you ask him questions. The higher call of my will is that you just sit and listen to his wisdom. Listen to his teaching. Now, he couples that up with praying in other tongues here. And listen to his counsel so that you have the answers before the problems arise. Now, let me give you one that happened just this month. How many knows we're coming into revival? How many knows I've been teaching healing like a crazy man? And I am changing. I myself am changing on the inside. And I see the day coming where Angie and I, now we didn't even used to do this, never even thought of it. But now she's keeping a log every time we pray, whether we got that answer, whether we didn't get that answer. I want to know what percentage that we're walking in. With Helena, we got a 50-50 recently. It was a two-part prayer, and we got half of it. Well, that's better than no praying at all. Okay, but I want all of it. All right, now John G. Lake, on his best year, when he had those healing rooms in Spokane, the best year he ever had was a 76% healing rate. But how many knows, even with a 76%, they had 20,000 healings a year. Amen? And our percentage is going up. We can tell it's going up. See, well, I'm looking to the day when, but every time we lay our hands on the sick, what did Jesus say? They will recover. And I believe that day is coming. Now, I don't know how long it's going to be. I'm thinking real quick. I'm thinking tomorrow. Tonight before we go to bed. I mean, and it's on my mind all the time. And I know that there's going to be a change, in a real good change, on the percentage of answered prayer. Now, minding my own business. Now, here's him answering giving me the answer to a problem I had never even thought of yet. This, I can tell you when it happened. September 3rd. What, last Sunday? And I believe it happened during calling in the lost. And this one did not come as a voice. Very often with me, I do hear a voice, or it's in such precise words, you know, to me that I can just write them out. This one, one way is by vision, one way is by revelation, one way is by voice, one way is by dream. He has all manner of way of communicating. This one really was like a dump. One minute I didn't know this, and the next minute I did know it, to the point I could write it down. Okay? While I was teaching you. I had to write it down afterwards, but anyway. And here's what he told. I had never even thought of that. But what I have thought about is, man, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear first time, every time, no exceptions. You know, I've got that in my mind real strong. But I never even thought of this. So I wrote it this way. I said, I did not hear this directly as a word from the Lord. But this understanding just came to me. As I begin flowing in more and more healing power demonstrations, I am not to suddenly think I am an evangelist and abandon my call as a teacher. I am a teacher in the body of Christ, and that will not change when I'm operating in more demonstration of the Spirit. I had never even thought of that. But now, now think about it. See, this is really encouraging that he would say this, because I think we're getting close to something. But I'd never thought of this. I thought, well, now what if all of a sudden, like a switch being flipped, suddenly, starting tomorrow, every person that I pray for gets healed? Is word going to spread? Yeah, it's called, that's what we're believing for, right? Now, I'm just talking about me right now in the light of this. But let's just say for Gary, that happens. Well, word's going to spread. People are going to start bringing people. Pretty soon you're going to start getting invitations. And if I'm not careful, see, I'd never even thought of it. But all of a sudden, oh, yeah, we got sick people over here. We got sick people over there. Pretty soon, without even thinking about it, I would put myself as a traveling healing evangelist and never even think about it. See? And I could spend, I'm 70. It would not be hard to spend the rest of my life doing that. And that would be like over in his good or acceptable. But see, he's not called me as an evangelist. And he's letting me know ahead of time, don't fall into that. No, what he wants me to do is teach and produce more evangelists. Can you see that? Yeah. My calling is a teacher. And he's warning me ahead. He's giving me an answer before I ever even thought of the question. What to do here? See, so now it's like years ago when I found out I wasn't a pastor. I grew up Southern Baptist. I loved the Baptists, but come on, everything's passed away except pastor, missionary, and Sunday school teacher. That's about all that's left, right? There's no apostle, no prophet, right? Okay, and so in my thinking, I just kind of, you know, in the early days, I just, you know, my temperament is more like a pastor, I think. I found out later it's really not. In the early days, I did. And I just kind of always assumed someday I'd pastor a church. Praying in the Holy Ghost, one day he just told me, he says, you're not a pastor. He has not called you to pastor. And he never will call you to pastor. You are a teacher in the body of Christ. That he also said, that's where your anointing is. And I get this. He also said, that is where your provision is. See, I need to stay where he put me. If I stay where he put me, he will provide for me. If I go put myself out there, he is not obligated to finance my plan. He has obligated himself to finance his plan. And as long as I stay in his plan, I'm good. All right? Now, so that, can you see, that's an answer to a problem that really I hadn't even thought. But I'll tell you that, I shared that with Bronk and he says, oh my God, we're getting close. We're getting close to something. To give that kind of an instruction, how practical is that? You see that? So, okay. Now, you might want to take some notes on this part. I'm going to share some experience with you. Been at this a while. I mean, you'll find it from the Word all the time. I have found there's at least two major ways that you get instructions from heaven. All right? One of them is like we see here in 1 Samuel. To be honest with you, this is my favorite kind. And it's detailed instruction. It's the kind that comes with sufficient information to act on it right now. If you're making notes, underneath that, you might put, you need to know what. Where? When? How? Sometimes he'll tell you why, but not always. Sometimes it's just none of your business. Okay? I have found that out. Now you can see that right there with Saul. Did he know where? Did he know where the Amalekites were? Sure he did. Did he know when? Yeah, go do it now. Did he know what to do? Destroy them utterly. Did he know how to do it? Take your army with you. Go and do this. He had sufficient instruction to do it now. Now, most of you have heard me tell about the time that I gave my pickup away to my worst enemy. Trust me, that was not my idea. And this guy was giving me all kinds of trouble. And anyway, got to keep it short. Suddenly one day, the Lord says to me, I want you to give your pickup to that guy. And I only had one pickup, but I actually said out loud, what pickup? The idea, the thought was so foreign to me. What? To that guy? And in those days, because I grew up in construction, I always had a pickup my whole life. I didn't realize how much my identity was involved with that pickup, but it was. And my pickup, you know, and I got, now if you're still writing, okay, detailed information. When he told me that, he says, I want you to wash it and wax it. I want you to fill it up with gas, and I want you to give it to him personally. Now, I've got to tell you, me and this guy did not, have you ever heard of oil and water? We did not mix. There was nothing in me that wanted to do this, but I had the what, I had the who, I knew he meant now. There was no reason to, I'll tell you this part. Now, see, listen, when the Lord does give you precise information, pay attention. Because what I started to do in those days, very often I would take our car and I would go to the Mr. Car Wash, Mr. Clean down on Peoria then. Now they're out at 71st and Sheridan. But there was a Mr. Clean down there. And I would take our vehicles and for like 12 bucks in those days, man, they'd vacuum it out and they'd wash the windows inside and out and they'd wipe down the dash and they'd armor all the tires, you know. And you get to sit in there and have coffee and in those days, smoke. But relax while they did all the work and you drive away your nice shiny car for 12 bucks. So I get down, I'm going to take the pickup down there and have that done because, it's a pickup. So, I did a lot of work on it and I did a lot of work in it. It was dirty and needed cleaning up. Now, what's amazing, that particular day, there was a line almost out to Peoria. There was a line. So, I get in the line. And what's amazing to me, he did not tell me this. I'm pulling up. It's like 15 minutes go by, pulling up. He could have told me when I first got there. Waited till I am the next one. I'm the next one that they're going to. And he says, no, I said for you to wash it. I said for you to wax it. For my worst enemy? I don't even do that on my own car. He was teaching me, humbling me, bringing my pride low to serve somebody else that he was really trying to rescue. You understand? So here I go. I'm one away. I pull out of the line, go to the house, and tell Sue, thank God Sue come out and help me. So here we are with buckets and sloshing and cleaning and washing and waxing and everything. And then the atmosphere between me and this fellow were so heated, I didn't want to see him at all. And I really wanted to let somebody else take the pink slip, you know, the title and the keys to him. But did you hear that part where it says, I want you to wash and wax it. I want you to fill it up with gas. And I want you to give it to him personally. He wouldn't let me out of that. So I found out where he was and I drove over there. Had Sue follow me in the car. Walked up to him, gave him the title, handed him the keys, said, the Lord told me to give you this. You know what he did with it? He threw them both on the ground and says, I don't want them anyway. I don't want them. I said, well, you got them anyway because I got to obey the Lord. And I got in the car with Sue and we drove off. Well, he went ahead and accepted it and used it. See, you'd think what you want when you obey God like that. You want, how does Dave say it? You want the ceiling to roll back. Liquid sunshine to pour through. I obeyed God. You want to feel the brush of an angel's wing right across your cheek. Maybe hear Gabriel's trumpet off in the distance. You know, you want some kind of reward. In the natural, you want to know what happened to my pickup? About 2 weeks later, it caught fire and burned. Yeah, caught fire and burned. You know, never was. And I want, for those that can't see me, I go, what? What was the purpose of that? Looking back on it now, God was doing everything he could to rescue that guy. He was trying to use me in that process. I am so glad. I am so glad that I obeyed the Lord. I'm so glad. And if he can't trust me with a work pickup, not a, you know, brand new shiny one, but a work truck, if I value my truck or less my pride over the soul of that guy, am I ready for ministry? I don't think so. See, he's preparing my heart. And the point I'm trying to make is when you get detailed instructions, he means it. Write it down. Habakkuk, make the vision plain. Write it down. Write it on tables that men that may run that read thereby. Okay? So if you do get detailed instructions, follow every detail just exactly like a King Saul should have done. Okay? All right? Let me give you another one that's like that. We were in the beginning of Gary Carpenter Ministries, the first thing we really did was the Bible study. I could go through all kinds of obedience things there. We started it when he told us to, and then we ended it when he told us to. And it was harder to end it than it was to start it. And he didn't give me any warning about that. He said, tonight is the last service. And we're all going, why? And I'm going, I don't know. And I really thought I was getting fired, you know. But there was obedience with that. It was started at his command. It was ended at his command. But now later, let's go on to the cassette tape days. There was not any MP3s. We did not even have a website. In those days, the instruction from heaven was to send these cassettes free anywhere around the world and postage paid. That, I can't even, there was a lot of learning and a lot of obedience involved in that because we had no money at all. You look back on it and you don't know how in the world, but anyway. But then one day in prayer, he began fine-tuning, giving me more detailed instructions on a change that he wanted made. Now, I've been through this before, but it's good for you. I'm going to go through it again. Here's the way he did it with me. I'm just in prayer. And he says to me, how do you get soda pop at your house when you run out of soda pop? So I went through this detailed list. Because Sue and I, first off, we don't drink soda pop. But we keep soda pop there for people that come. Okay? I said, well, when you run out of soda pop, first off, I ask Sue who has a sale. I get in the car. I drive to wherever it is. I get out of the car, get a cart, go to the shelves, put the pop, soda pop in the cart, go to the cashier, pay, go out to the car, put the soda pop in the trunk, drive to the house, unload the soda pop out of the trunk, put it in the garage, and then we've got soda pop. He says, what do you do when you want a drink of water? Now, I'm not a bottled water guy, okay? A lot of people are, but it's okay. But he knew me. I said, I just get a glass and go to the kitchen sink, and I just get a drink of water. Then he began explaining to me, at the way our operation was then, he says, right now, if somebody in Africa wants a drink of a teaching that I gave you. Now, remember, we didn't have the website then. That was not... If we did, it was in the very early stages. There was no MP3s or anything there. He says, in fact, really the website then, about all you could do was order a tape catalog. Then you had to order the cassettes. So he says, somebody in Africa, if they want to take a drink of one of your teachings, they have to use the soda pop method right now. They have to first download the catalog. They got to print it. Then they have to fill out the form. They've got to either call you or mail that to you. It might be a week before you even get it. Then it goes in the queue in your production line. Might be another week before the tapes are produced. Then you got to get it ready for mailing. Depending on where they are, it could be a week to a month before they get it. So from the time that they had a thirst for that teaching, the way you're set up now, it might be a month before they get that drink. And that's the day I heard. He says, what you teach in the morning, I want heard in Zimbabwe that night. Well, I knew that had to be something other than cassette tapes. There's no way that could happen. I knew that would have to be by way of the internet. And we didn't know anything. Nowadays, that technology is available to everybody. But we didn't know anything about MP. I didn't know what a WAV file was. I didn't know what an MP3 was. Didn't know anything about all that. Now, he didn't tell me all of those details. I had to do the legwork. I had to study it. You understand it? Everyone say work. W-O-R-K. Say that. W-O-R-K. See, my kidney has to do what a kidney does. It can't not do what a kidney does. And when he gives you an instruction, sometimes there's study, there's work, there's trial and error. And we kept trying all, but it didn't take very long. I mean, today, that website anybody around the world, if they've got any internet connection at all, if they want to hear, if they want to take a drink from one of those teachings, they can put on their headphones and go over there and go pretty much click. Like getting a drink of water, isn't it? Now, do you see precise, detailed instructions? And he'll do it in a way that you can personally understand it. I understand soda pop. I understand water. It was in a way that I could understand. Now, I wish I'd have kept better records. It might have been 2 years from the time that I first heard that until we had that working very well at all. But boy, we were working on it every day. You got that? Okay, we're running out of time. I got to go into the second method. So that first method is where you get detailed instructions. Pay attention. One other thing too. Don't assume. Don't assume details that he didn't say. He might say, give Sarah $1,000. Is that the Lord, Sarah? Absolutely. I'm just teasing her. But you might hear that. You might. And so you reach into your pocket and you start pulling out $1,000. Well, now, wait a minute. Did he say do it today? Does he want you to send it in $50 installments? How does he want? There's a what and a how and a when and a where. And don't forget about Dave's example. About the guy, the man who was seeking God. And God, what do you want me to do with my life? I know I'm called, God. What do you want me to do? And he fasted and he prayed. And finally, he heard the word China. So, man, he sold his house, took his family and all of his kids, went to China, spent 2 years over there. Man, they fell flat on their face, didn't lead one person to the Lord. The kids got sick. The wife divorced him. Comes back to the United States and he goes, oh, God, why? Why did you send me to China? And the Lord says, I never said go to China. Your anniversary was coming up. I wanted you to buy some china for your wife. Now, that's a funny story, but that is serious. Don't assume stuff he didn't say. Stay in there till you know the when, the what, the where, and the how. Sometimes the why. You don't always get the why. Okay, the second way. The other thing that Dave would teach, so is this is the second way. Leadership that grows in his leadership that grows in you like a tree. The more you pray, the stronger that thing gets. Maybe you don't ever hear a voice. I think Nathan's example is one of the best ones. You know, he really had eyes for his wife down there in Texas where they lived. They weren't married yet. But boy, you know, they had romance going on. And the Lord starts. The more he would pray, the more the Lord was saying, "Move to Tulsa," just him. Well, he didn't want to do that. She's down here in Texas. I don't want to move to Tulsa. But he said, "The more I prayed, the more that grew in me like a tree." It wasn't a voice; it was a knowing. Move to Tulsa. My will for you. Move to Tulsa. Move to Tulsa. But that was not words. But that knowing, and the way Nathan said it was like this. He said, finally, that tree grew so strong in me that it came to the place where not moving to Tulsa was sin for me. He knew it to that degree. And it was not easy. Nothing in his natural person wanted to break it off with her and move here. But that was the mind of the Lord. How many of you know the Lord eventually put them back together? They're married now and have that wonderful baby. See? But he didn't know all that was going to happen at the time. But obedience is better than sacrifice. When you really start knowing the mind of the Lord, when it comes to the place in you, like Nathan says, where not to do it now is sin. Listen, timing is so important. I counsel you, don't assume details that the Lord did not say. You can hurt somebody by giving them too much money too early. The Lord may want you to give away your car, and it may be your only car. And you think, I don't know. Lord, I don't even know how I would get anywhere. What? You know, in my case, I had another car besides the pickup, so it wasn't quite so bad. But, you know, what if it's your only car? Well, that may be the Lord, but you're not ready yet. You need the when. You need the, you know, maybe the what is give away the car. Maybe you know who, you know, maybe you know who. But there's a when. And you got to stay in there till you have enough information to obey him. You got it? Now, that does not mean, I'm telling you now, living by faith does not mean he will tell you every possible detail that your mind can possibly come up with. What about this? What about that? What about this? No. The just shall live by faith and not by sight. But he will tell you enough. The what, the when, the where, and the how. Even on those things that grow like a tree, you still need his timing. Because you can hurt people. I've seen it happen. You can promote people too quick. You can give people money when there is... You can give money to people that they'll... If they're dealing with a problem, an addiction, you can be the enabler. God may have them feeding husks to the swine. And you don't need to be coming along giving them a hamburger. Is that, you know what I'm talking about, the prodigal son? Boy, that one line in there that says when he was feeding, he was so hungry. For a Jew, there's nothing lower than feeding pigs. And he was so hungry, he was about ready to put his face in the trough with the pigs. Now, that's about as low as you can get. And there's a line that's in the word. It says, and no man gave unto him. And in the margin, I went, thank God. See, anyone that would have would be an enabler, would be enabling him to stay in his rebellion. God may be saying, give Sarah $1,000. God really may be saying that to somebody. Anyway, get the when. Get the how. Now, if you've been walking with him long enough where you know his voice, you may, when you hear it, you may know it. Well, I know it's now. But how do you know? I know him. Him and I are buds. We talk like this all the time. I know. I know in my knower. This is not a future thing. Give it now. And that's just as important, boy. Sometimes they need it, and they need it right now. You got that? Y'all are so quiet. Is this making any sense to you? Now, see, your whole body functions this way. It really does. Your kidneys do exactly what they're supposed to be doing. Your lungs do exactly. There's no jealousy between the lung and the kidney, thank God. You know, how did Dave used to do that? The foot had somewhat against the ear. He says, "Why, you wash that ear all the time. You women, you actually hang jewelry off of the ear to show it off." And the foot says, "What do I get? I get a 10-second toe inspection, shoved in a sock, put in a shoe. Nobody ever sees me, and I want you to know I support the weight of this ministry." Remember Pastor Dave? Thank God there's no, you know, competition or jealousy between the foot and the ear in life. And that's the way the body needs to be. If I'm a teacher in the body, that's what I need to know. And I want to be a good teacher. I want to teach. I'm not after anything else. I want to teach. If that's what I'm called to do, that's what I'm called to do. Well, same with you. There's going to be people that are... Romans 12 has a lot more ministries than we normally talk about the fivefold. Read Romans 12. There's a ministry of giving. There's a ministry of exhortation. There's a ministry of helps. There's all kinds of things that God's called people to do. It sounds more like a body. There's kidneys and a pancreas and a stomach and lungs and all kinds of things. Well, pray. Find out your instructions. Get it from the head, not a formula. Let's develop this living relationship. I'm going to finish by recommending to you again, if it's been a while, communion with the Holy Spirit. It is in the face-to-face section at our website, garycarpenter.org. And I actually have it in written form. You can print it. And I read all of these out loud on an MP3. You can play them over and over again in your car or however you want to do it. Okay? But this is why he sent the Holy Spirit. We're not orphans. We have direct access to the mind of Christ. It's just a matter of learning to walk in that peace. And like Dave says, locating the ear of your spirit, that place in you where he communicates. Amen? Did you get anything out of that? A little practical information on obeying heavenly instructions. My job is not to ignore these when they come. I've got a friend. I've known this guy since the seventh grade, okay? And a lifelong friend. And he's a really good guy, loves the Lord, but he just has no use for church, okay? In the early days, when I talk about Sue and I, when we launched out in ministry, and this part needs to be on there. Launched out into ministry, I needed a laptop really bad. We were starting to travel. All I had was this old boxy thing that I couldn't take with me. But we couldn't afford any kind of laptop, you know. And one of the instructions that we had was, don't let anybody know. You know, we're not allowed to let people know of the need that we have. So my petition was just with the Lord. One day this friend comes over, and he come to visit. But I noticed he had a box with him when he come in. And got to talking. What's that? Well, that's a laptop. Gary needs a laptop. This is for you. And this is a guy that doesn't pray in tongues. Okay? He doesn't really come to church. He's a good guy. And I said, why in the world would you buy me a laptop? And he said, the thumb. Did you hear what I said? The thumb. The thumb. Now, I hope you can see me. He said, yeah. He said, for days, I kept feeling God's thumb. It was right on me going, buy Gary a laptop. Buy Gary a laptop. He said, I couldn't get any peace. Buy Gary a Now, I hope we're not at that place where God has to use the thumb. Give Sarah some money. Isn't that good? Now, see, he'll deal with you where you are. He'll deal with you where you are. But I hadn't thought about that in a long time, but that's a good story, isn't it?